The Gospel of John. We've been going through the last several weeks through chapters 1 through 21. Today, I want to take us through the complete Gospel of John. We're just going to get a jet tour, if you will, through the Gospel of John. I picked out selected verses as we walk through it. It's on your study guide as we go through the Gospel of John. Please take notes on who Jesus Christ is to you. Because as John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 states, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we're just so thankful that You have given us Your Word to look into. We're so thankful that You have given us Your Holy Spirit to bring us into that truth of Your Word. So I ask that once again, that You will empower me by Your Holy Spirit to preach Your Word, and that as Your Word is going out, that those who are listening and that those who are going to listen, that You will open up their eyes, their hearts, their ears to hear the pure Gospel of Jesus Christ. We want this for Your glory and Yours alone. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Gospel according to John. The theology. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a persuasive argument for the deity of Jesus. It concentrates on presenting Jesus as a Word, that is, God, who became man. Thus, as we go through John, we're going to see the statements and the miracles that Jesus did that can be only attributed to God. Jesus called Himself the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine. Each of these statements begin with the words, "I am," recalling God's revelation of His name, "I am," to Moses. Jesus did not say He gave bread. He said He is the bread which gives life. He did not say He would teach the way, the truth, and the life. Instead, He said He is the way, because He is the truth and the life. These are Jesus' clear claims to deity. He was not merely a man. There are signs of Jesus' deity in the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at a few of them. John records up to seven of these. Some say seven, but one person says eight, or a few commentaries say eight. Number eight would be John 21:6, which the catch of the abundant of fish. But these signs, changing water into wine, healing a man's son, healing a lame man, multiplying bread and fish, walking on the water, healing a blind man, and raising Lazarus, these miracles show that Jesus is God, and He possesses power over all nature. Overall. So, let's start in John chapter 1 and start walking through the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We're going to see here the eternal Word, the deity of Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 6 through 13, we're going to see John the Baptist, the witness of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, the true light, and that through Christ we become children of God. Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Verse 14 of John 1. And the Word, which we know as Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So chapter 1, the verses there we see the eternal Word, the deity of Christ. We see the witness of John the Baptist to Jesus Christ, the true light. And we see that through Jesus Christ and him alone, we become children of God. Chapter 2 of John. Chapter 2. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. Chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning set out good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. You see, in the Gospel of John, the miracles of Jesus are called signs, indicating and appointed to him that he was deity, and pointed to his messiahship. Go to chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. The new birth, you must be born again. You must be born from above. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, and we know he's talking to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Pharisees, the ruler of the Jews, I should say. So Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You see, the Greek word translated "born again" can mean either from above or anew. The new birth or regeneration is the act by which God imparts spiritual life to the one who trusts Christ. Without this spiritual birth, this new birth, a person cannot enter the kingdom of God. They cannot perceive spiritual things. We're still in John chapter 3. Let's look at verses 16 and 17 at God's love. John 3, 16 and 17 at God's love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Here we see in John 3:16, the alphabet of grace. The alphabet of grace. Look at verses 35 through 36 of John chapter 3. We're going to see here God's sovereign alternatives. One is everlasting life. The other is the wrath of God. John 3:35 and 36. "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So you see them sovereign alternatives. Everlasting life to those who believe, in the Son of God, but wrath, the wrath of God on those who do not. Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's look at verses 21 through 26. John 4, verses 21 through 26. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." So we see from the woman at the well, John chapter 4, that those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It is a heart worship. That's why salvation is a heart salvation. It is regeneration. Because those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not where you worship, it's how you worship. It's an inner worship. It comes from the heart, a true worship. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." John chapter 6, verse 27. John chapter 6, verse 27. In John chapter 6, we're going to see a few things here that the scriptures I'm going to pull out. We're going to see that Jesus is the bread of life, the light of the world, the giver of everlasting life. Through Him we have eternal security, because that's the will of the Father. So let's look at verse 27 first. John 6, 27. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Verse 35 through 40. "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we see here in these verses, Jesus is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the giver of everlasting life. We see that eternal security is the will of the Father. And Jesus came to perfectly fulfill the will of the Father. John 6:63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Once again, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. Here we're going to see the gospel invitation. The gospel invitation. And also we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, that the impartation of the Holy Spirit is a source of spiritual and eternal life. John 7, verse 37. "On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying," and we're going to get here the gospel invitation, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we see here in verse 37, the gospel invitation. If anyone thirsts, you know if you are thirsty. You know that if you're empty feeling, unsatisfied with yourself, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then He says, let him come to Me. When you feel empty, thirsty, unsatisfied, you need and know you're a sinner. You need to come to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and trust in Him, and then drink. Receive salvation that Jesus offers in Him alone. And also, verse 39, about the Holy Spirit. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, which was the rivers of living water flowing from the heart. He said the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The impartation, the giving of the Holy Spirit, is the source of the spiritual and eternal life. Now, John chapter 8. Then John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:24. Here we're going to see freedom in the Son, forgiveness of sin. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. How do you get forgiveness of sins? By trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that, as He said here, you have no freedom. No freedom from sins. You will die in your sins. John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. In verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's continue on. John chapter 8, verse 43 through 47. Do you hear God's word? Do you hear God's word? Verse 43. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you are not able to listen to My word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So do you hear God's words? John 8:47 says, if you are God, you will hear God's words. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. John 9:39-41. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words and said to Him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore, your sin remains. I want to share with you from a commentary of John MacArthur about this spiritual sight. Spiritual sight comes only to those who acknowledge that they do not see, who confess their spiritual blindness and their need for the light of the world. On the other hand, those who think they see on their own, apart from Christ, delude themselves and will remain blind. They will not come to the light, because they love the darkness and do not want their evil deeds to be exposed. This was precisely the issue in the synagogue at Nazareth, where Jesus offered the gospel salvation only to those who are aware of their sin. You see, the penitent spiritual poor, imprisoned, blind, and oppressed, the hearers, like most of Israel, do not see themselves as such and reacted by trying to murder Jesus. Their response was self-condemning. You see, the danger faced by those who think they see is that their rejection and unbelief is irreversible, and they become permanently blind. The sobering truth is that those who willfully reject the light of salvation in Christ may find themselves fixed in their condition by God. Scripture records not only that Pharaoh hardened his heart against God, but also that as a result, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Some of the Pharisees reached that point when they rejected the full light of God's revelation in Christ and attributed His divine power to Satan. You see, Jesus said to them in 9:41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." The Lord's answer must have surprised the Pharisees, who no doubt expected a more direct answer to their question. But Jesus' point was that if the Pharisees would confess that they were spiritually blind, thereby admitting their need for Christ, the true light, they would have no sin. But because it would be forgiven. Unfortunately, though, the Pharisees were like those of whom Solomon said, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." You see, many, by stubbornly refusing to admit their blindness, they're doomed. They're doomed forever. Doomed themselves to darkness forever. So, since the Pharisees were unwillingly to acknowledge their blindness because they claim to see, they remain culpable or deserving blame and unforgiving for all their sin. They could not plead ignorance or lack of opportunity. In particular, the sin in view here, and the one that always damns, is that of unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus Christ, of who He was and what He did. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 18. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you," He says, "I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I receive from my Father." So we see Jesus is the door of the sheep. He is a good shepherd, and He lays down His life. No one has power to take it from Him. John 10:28-30. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." You see, Christ is a resurrection for those who believe and are physically dead. He is a life. He is a life for those who believe and have not yet died. You see, in order to have eternal life, a person must place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. John chapter 12:12-15, the triumphal entry. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." John chapter 12, verse 27 through 33. We're going to see here. We're going to see the principle that Jesus lived by and the principle that Jesus would die by. That is that the Father would be glorified. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this purpose I came to this hour. We know that Jesus here is going to predict His own death on the cross. He says, verse 28, Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Verse 32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. So we see from John 12, we see the principle, John 12, 27 to 33, that the principle that Jesus lived by and the principle that Jesus would die by and that the Father would be glorified. We see that Jesus predicts His own death. He said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. John chapter 12, once again, verse 42 and 43. I write, whose praise do you want? Whose praise do you want? John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. That because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out at the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. John 12, 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verses 1 through 17. Here we're going to see, as Jesus washes the disciples' feet, the perfect example of humility and also a symbol of spiritual cleansing. Let me read to you John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He had girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to Him, you shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not My feet only, but also My hands and My head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, you are not all clean. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. We are known by our love. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, 37 and 38. Be careful of boasting. Peter said to Him, Lord, Why can I not follow you now? He says, I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. John 14, 1 through 3, the rapture promise. A footnote here on the rapture text. Also write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 54. And also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. But let me read you the promise, the rapture promise of John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 6, only one way to heaven. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, through his death and resurrection, Jesus is the way to the Father. He also is the truth and the life. As the truth, he is the revelation of God. As the life, he is the communication of God to us. John chapter 14, verse 9 through 10, the oneness of God. John chapter 14, verse 9 through 10. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So John 14, 9, the Lord rebuked Philip because Philip should have known the answer to the question before he asked it. The text says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. The Lord patiently explained again that he was revealing God the Father to them. It is impossible then to escape the claim that Jesus is making here. He was clearly making the claim that he was God. John 14, verse 15 through 18, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of another helper. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for what? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Also, verse 26 and 27 of the same chapter, John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8, abiding in Christ. And the great I Am statement again. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in a vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. I want to share with you from the study Bible, the Nelson Study Bible, Jesus' seven I Am statements. We read these before, but I'm going to give you the title and the significance of that. Jesus says, the I Am statements. He said, I am the bread of life. That means, as bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. The nourishment and satisfaction He offers are permanent. He says, I am the light of the world. To a world stumbling about in darkness of sin, Christ offers Himself as a constant guide. Light is also symbolic of holiness. He said, I am the door of the sheep. Shepherds guided their flocks into stone enclosures each night to protect them. These structures had no doors. The shepherd would sit or lie in the opening to prevent predators from attacking. Thus, Jesus was describing His care and constant devotion to those who are His. And also, unlike hirelings who might run away and leave the unprotected, Jesus is committed to caring for and keeping watch over His sheep, over His people. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the Lord of life, of all life, and possesses the power to raise the dead. Death is not the final word for all who are in Christ. We will live forever with Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one and only way to God the Father. He is the source of all truth and the source for all knowledge about God. He offers to the spiritual dead people the very life of God. And He says, as we read here in John 15, I am the true vine. You see, the Old Testament contains many references to Israel as God's vine. But because of the nation's unfruitfulness, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable His life to flow in and through us. Then, we cannot help but bear fruit that will honor the Father. So as you can see, Jesus' seven I Am statements. John 15, once again, verse 12 through 14, a command to love. He said, this is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are My friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15, verse 16, the sovereign election. John 15, verse 16, you did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of Father in My name, He may give you. Sovereign election. We did not choose Him. He chose us. And He appointed us that we should go and bear fruit and that our fruit should remain. Chapter 15, verse 18 through 25, the promised persecution. The promised persecution. If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for My namesake, because they do not know Him who sent Me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates Me hates My Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both Me and My Father. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated Me without a cause. John chapter 16, the work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I should go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin. Okay? Of sin because they do not believe in Me. So, that sin, He will convict the world of sin. The sin is what? That they do not believe in Christ. It says also will convict the world of righteousness, which is verse 10 of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take up what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take a Mine and declare it to you. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to bring us into truth, to guide us into truth. Also, verse 33, supernatural peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Holy Spirit that God gives us and seals us into the body of Christ of salvation will bring us into the Spirit, the truth, will guide us into truth. He will give us that supernatural peace as we walk through our Christian walk. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus' priestly prayer. Verses 1 through 6. Jesus prays for Himself. I put here, to glorify God the Father. To glorify God the Father. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. Jesus spoke these words, lift up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. So we can see that Jesus, as I said earlier, His main goal was to glorify God the Father. Also in His priestly prayer, Jesus prays for the disciples. Verse 6, I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 15 through 17, I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil world, the evil one, I should say. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. Once again, sanctify them by Your truth. Verse 17, Your word is truth. Lastly, in His priestly prayer, verse 20 and 21, He prays for all believers, us and future believers. So I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And chapters 18 and 19, we won't read through it all. Chapters 18 and 19 is the events of Jesus' full voluntary submission to Almighty God's will. By what? Number one, perfectly submitting to the arrest and betrayal of Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. John chapter 18, we won't read it, but we know that Judas betrayed Him and that He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also in John chapter 18, we know that Jesus was questioned by the high priest. He was questioned by Annas, who was the former high priest, and also the current reigning high priest, Caiaphas. Also, in John chapter 18, we see that Jesus went before Pilate the governor, to be questioned. You might remember, Pilate said to Him, in verse 37 of John 18, 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." And in chapter 19, we see where the soldiers, we see first that Pilate took Jesus and was scourged. And also we see in John chapter 19, the mocking of the soldiers. Jesus was mocked by the soldiers. And we see Pilate's decision. And also, John chapter 19, we see him in verse 17 and the following. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on a cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" Also, verse 25, we see of John chapter 19, we see where Jesus takes care of his mother. John chapter 19, verse 25 and 20 through 27. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." And in verse 28 through 30, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'What? It is finished. It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." So he willingly, voluntarily submitted to the arrest. To the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. To the mockings. To the questioning by the high priest. To the mocking of the soldiers. To the decision that Pilate made. Even though Pilate said he had no fault, he still had him scourged. And then sent him to be crucified. And then he was buried. He was buried in Joseph's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea. And then, John chapter 20, the resurrection. We won't read through it, but we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, John chapter 20, verse 1 through 31, we know that his resurrection is our hope. It is our salvation. You might want to write down in the footnote of your Bible or in your notes that the resurrection, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28, that this resurrection, if Christ was not raised from the dead, we have no hope that you are still dead in your sins. And also, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. You know what that says. I open up with it. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And then, lastly, as we close the Gospel of John, John chapter 21, we have here the perfect breakfast. We see where Jesus still provides for his own. As you remember last week, I said Jesus is a perfect fish finder here. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat after they've been fishing all night and they didn't catch nothing. And he said, you will find some. So when they cast, they were unable to draw it in because of the multitude of fish, which were 153 large fish. And he says, come and eat breakfast. He already had supernaturally provided the fish for them. And as we close, verse 25 and John 21. And there are so many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. So, the gospel, according to John, we just touched a very small basis of it. We could spend months and years on the gospel of John. But I wanted to present that to you, the summary. And as the opening text once again says, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. As we went through the gospel of John was written for what? What was the purpose of the gospel of John? And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, we're just so thankful for Your Word. As Your Word was read, we know You have said that Your Word will never return void. So I ask, Father, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, as Your Word is listened to, that You will draw people unto Yourself. We know people cannot come to the saving knowledge of Your Son without You drawing them supernaturally by Your Holy Spirit. So we ask, as we read in John 16, that the Holy Spirit will convict him of sin, the sin of who Jesus is, and that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And also, that You'll grant him salvation in Your Son. But for the true believers, I ask, Father, that they will listen to Your Word, meditate on Your Word. There's 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. I ask, Father, that they will go in and start reading Him, seeing who Jesus is, and being able to go out by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the hope that's within them. Help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to go out and to present Your Word to a lost world, but also to go out and to love other Christians, as You have commanded us to do. Because our love for one another, as You said, that's the way the world's going to know if we are truly Yours and who You are, by our love for one another. Help us to do that, Father, for Your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.